It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
You guys are like, oh, gosh. Oh.
Howard Simon.
Doesn't matter what time I come on. 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, and then you expect me to be chipper for five straight hours. It's miserable.
Jeremy White.
Here's some wind, here's some temperature, 20s. Feels like 19 or feels like 70, I don't know. 47, partly cloudy, southwest breeze 10 to 15. Here's a 60, I don't know if that's good enough for you guys. Get excited, maybe I'll disappoint you with the 7 day here in a few minutes.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Hold on. Ain't nobody going on at 4:30 in the morning on this show. Maybe in the afternoon somebody's on 4:30. Happy whatever day it is. We had some snow, at least in my neck of the woods. It's on the grass, but it's not on the sticking to the streets or the sidewalk or the driveways. It's wet, but, you know, it's not that bad this morning, at least here in the North Towns. And the only, I just didn't want to shovel. So far, knock on wood, so good, although it's still snowing. How you doing over there, man?
Doing all right.
Hey, we got to get to Brandon Bean and lots of Bills talk and, you know, the Sabres and all that stuff. But I got to tell you, I'm really impressed. I mean, what happened in the last 48 hours with the Super League, I didn't think it was actually going to happen. I mean,
yeah,
fans complained and something significant happened.
We got it killed, huh?
Isn't that amazing? I got to tell you, maybe I shouldn't be stunned. You tell me, because you know this more than I do. I don't know, when rich owners usually decide to do something, some fans complain, it doesn't usually work. But it seemed like this was such a bad idea and so globally panned. I tell you, I'm really impressed that they actually, the league went, you know, lived for what, 48 hours and it died before it was established.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the idea was somewhat flawed to begin with, and I mean, am I surprised that it didn't get off the ground? I guess I'm surprised it died so quickly.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it won't be the last time the Raptors test the fences.
Okay.
The real big fallout is not only how the Super League's not going to happen, but some of the club chairmen have resigned.
Yeah.
And there's a report that one team's going to just sell the team. One guy's just going to sell the team.
Because of this?
Maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, fine. Sorry. I'll get out of your hair.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
That's how I feel about Arsenal's owner Stan Kroenke. Like, hey, buddy, can you just go ahead and be a billionaire and go away? Because, you know, since he's shown up, he's really, what's the word I'm looking for? Ruined Arsenal? Really ruined it in a big way. So how about you just sell it, be a billionaire, and let somebody else come in? I don't know who that billionaire will be, but, you know.
Your tweet was funny about now we can go back to losing to the big teams
ourselves.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's what Arsenal does. They were going to join this brand new league and just get hammered every single week. So, you know, because he was going to pocket the money and probably not invest it because that's, you know, what they do.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. We talk about how fans are passionate here over the Bills and the Sabres and all that. I will admit, I still don't. I understand the importance of football over there. But I'll admit, I still don't completely get it. When I started watching the show, Sunderland, the Sunderland show on Netflix, I saw, you know, for that community, how much that club meant and how they were crushed when they were relegated. And I think actually they went down to like the third level league. But I was actually watching like a 6.5 minute piece James Corden did on his show about this Super League, Jeremy.
Yeah,
and he was
yeah.
really, it was driving it home. Like you have these, he's talking about these billionaire owners who don't understand or don't care about the 100-year history of this club in that community and what it means, what the team means, what the players mean, what, you know, all the different things have meant to that community and how it's handed down from generation to generation. All of a sudden you come in and go, yeah, listen, I want to make more money. We're going to do this. And it kind of, I thought it was interesting to it helped me grasp a little bit more why so many people were so angry about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good that it's gone.
Yeah, so that's cool. See, fans can have an impact and make a significant change and crush a league before it even starts. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd point that out. I thought that was a really amazing story.
What else do we want? Let's get rid of something else quick. What else? Offside challenge. We couldn't band together fast enough. Huh? I guess we missed our window to get rid of the offside challenge.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I do believe it would be a bad idea, but I'm all for getting rid of replays in sports. reviews. I know it's never going to happen, and I think and it probably would be really frustrating to go back to the 1970s and 80s, whatever. But I mean, the more I see of stoppages in any sport, and the umpires have to go huddle over by the third base dugout and put on the headsets and talk to some guy in jersey and stop the game for 5 minutes. Yeah, the more that happens, the more I just get tired of that. But that's here to stay. I get that.
Yeah. Well, good that it's gone.
And yeah.
It's not often that tradition wins out over big money.
Right.
It just never happens, right? It is kind of – there were commentaries about American sports in there that sports leagues are very different from their sports leagues. Every once in a while, people around here like to talk about relegation and promotion. You know, the NHL should send the worst three teams down to the AHL.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they're never going to do that.
Right.
You know, like, that's not how it works. That's how the soccer world was built up, because it was built up very organically. You know, you mentioned James Corden. Talking about how, the soccer teams started because guys in the lumberyard got together and kicked the football around, right?
Yeah, I love that show on Netflix.
Yeah, right. That's the Netflix
show. It's a great show.
So those teams became bigger and bigger and more powerful and richer, and, you know, then they became professional soccer teams more than they were just like, but they still call them clubs. And the difference is, of course, here, there are franchises. It's not the same thing. So you can't exactly expect, if the Leafs have a bad season, the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to go play in the AHL.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not ever going to happen. There's no reason to make it happen. You shouldn't want, the
Sabres, the Wings, and the Senators would have been relegated by now.
And instead the Utica Comets are in the – please. Yeah. I mean, it's a nice idea. It's just never going to happen. And the thing about it that was really funny to watch was – reacting to the idea of this Super League was going to be like the NFL. Like, hey, what's wrong with having all of the best and richest teams all together playing against each other for a trophy? That seems like American sports. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And it is to some degree. And it was funny to see guys like James Corden or Pep Guardiola, who's the head coach at Manchester City, basically saying, what kind of league would just let you be in it no matter how bad you are?
Right, without winning or losing or anything. Right, yeah.
Right, it's just wild to – and meanwhile, you look at that, you're like, I guess that's a good point, but, you know.
I mean, I think what happened was – and you saw this too, Jeremy, right? The story of the Super League, when it came out, spurred writers who cover college football or the NFL. I know Florio did, I think, a little blog item at Pro Football Talk, and somebody did the equivalent for college football, I believe, at ESPN.com. Like, hey, what if a Super League ever came to fill-in-the-blank sport? And, you know, I'm pretty sure it was Florio. Okay, so you'd have basically Dallas, Pittsburgh. I think he had Tampa in there and some of these other teams.
Tampa wouldn't make it. I mean, be real.
Well,
we're talking about
he's going on current. Like, you've got to go
– and that's not what they did.
Dallas hasn't won squat in 20 years, but it's Dallas.
It'd be Dallas and the Giants.
The Steelers, I assume?
Sure, the Steelers, yes.
Packers? Yeah, I don't know, whatever.
Not big enough, not rich enough.
Right, the Giants, the big teams going off in their own league, and then the college football guys talking about, okay, well, Alabama and LSU are leaving the SEC to go do this. And I just thought, man, if that actually was announced, how many people would be upset in this country if we were, what do you mean? You're tearing out. What are you doing in the SEC, Alabama and LSU? Screw you. I mean, it would just be.
Technically, the NFL, they're already super leagues. They are the 32 best football teams, you know. I guess if you really wanted to get down to it, the NHL could decide to kick out the Coyotes and bring in some Swedish elite league teams if they wanted all. But again, like, that's taking a shot at the Coyotes they probably don't deserve.
Yeah.
So we already have super leagues. And the college football point is the best one, because that's the one where you know it's not an even playing field. That's basically a super league. That's the Power Five.
Yeah.
And that's how you – oh, congratulations. You went 13-0 Boise State. You're in fifth. You're not making the playoff.
Right. But even
that
in
that is a super league.
Right. And but even in this – it's almost like then there's another super league out of the super league, like the SEC – like Alabama and LSU are thinking, do we need Vanderbilt around? I mean, you know, what good are they doing for the SEC? Sorry, I picked Vanderbilt, but they're usually pretty bad in football, I think.
Hey, it's a great school.
It's a my niece went to Vanderbilt. It's a fantastic school. Yeah, home of the Commodores. But I mean, the SEC will. You know, you picked Arizona for the NHL. Yeah, pick a bottom feeder in any of the Power Five leagues. I mean, you would see the top of the league. I'm sure Oklahoma would have a few teams at the bottom of the Big 12 and go, okay, man, we're on our own. Look, goodbye. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really impressed, because I think I don't know how many times in my life as a sports fan, an idea comes out, this new idea, and it is, I mean, I can't say that I scoured every story for the last 2 days on the internet, but what I read, what I heard, I couldn't find anybody to say a positive thing about this new Super League. And I'm just used to owners getting their way or things going against what fans believe is the right way to operate because it's big business and there's money and that's going to dictate everything, right? And I just don't know how many times I've actually seen a movement come up and squash what everybody thought was a really terrible idea. I mean, well, right? The six English teams were going to pull out anyway, right?
Yeah, right.
Man.
Well, here's where you go for VAR next. That's next on the hit
That's
list.
Your big thing as a
yep,
soccer fan,
get to
right.
VAR. VAR, offside review.
See, replay reviews. I'm telling you, technology is a bad thing.
3-2-1 point system. I've still got my list.
I'm going back to a VCR, and I'm hooking up the rotary dial phone.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep the remote-controlled television, though. I mean, getting up to physically change channels when I was little was just a pain in the neck.
Right.
Yeah, you don't even remember. That's okay.
Changing channels, I do.
You remember changing channels. Good for you.
Well, I mean, without the remote, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no remote.
You get up and turn the dial.
Yeah, one time in college we lost our remote and had to change channels of the golf club from the seat closest to the television.
Right? Think about how annoyed you get when you're sitting in your chair and you pick up your remote and the batteries are dead, right? And you're pushing the button. Why is it? Oh, man.
Well, if I may, this is where actually technology on remotes has gone too far. Because now, if you lose the remote, a lot of these TVs don't have the buttons on the television anymore.
Right, or you can't find them anyway.
You might have a power button. You don't have channels. You don't have volume. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd like to turn the volume down. I can't find the remote. Eh, might as well unplug the television because this TV doesn't have a volume control.
That's right.
On it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know, anyway, I don't want to get off on a silly tangent topic about technology.
So,
are the Bills taking a running back at 30 based on what you heard yesterday?
Maybe. The thing I took out of yesterday's Brandon Bean press conference, and this was borderline stunning that he said.
Go ahead.
It's smokescreen season.
Right?
You can smokescreen anything you want. You can say, these backs are great. Oh, well, he said they might trade up, right, if there's a player.
Yeah.
He told you he doesn't like to sit still
right.
when you said you didn't want to stay up till the 30th.
He told us, and I'm going to bring that up again today, that he needs to text me if he's trading out. Yep.
And I don't want to bring this up with him because I don't know how to bring it up.
Go ahead.
When's the last time a GM flat out said some of his players don't have a skill set?
Yeah, you're not a home. We don't have a home run hitter on the back on
and
the roster.
I mean, it's not any sort of shocker,
right?
But usually, what a GM would say in that spot, again, if you're smoke screening to make people think you want a running back, you'll do a lot of things. I just don't think you would call out. Call them out.
Yeah.
I just don't think you would specifically mention. Yeah, these guys aren't fast.
You're pointing out they're lacking a particular trait.
Yeah.
And right. And now he did. Now in the context of that, in that remark, he did say, you know, we're very comfortable with the backs we have.
Yes.
But
different skill sets.
Right.
He's not saying they're bums. That just they don't do that.
But his term was elite skill set and home run hitter. I think those are the right. Those are the two key parts of his answer. He made, you know, we're comfortable with these guys, but ... Like I hear it and go, if there's a home run hitter. Because we don't have a home run hitter, a guy with an elite skill set. Sure, we'll take him. So that's why I thought it made me think more about that now than I was in recent weeks, or post-Breida signing, basically.
Yep. Well, how many times has he smoke-screened before?
See, but I
last offseason, he said, we have to get better at receiver, then went and traded for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, that's why I don't think he's smoke-screening there. I really don't.
Yeah, last year, after the Houston game, 2 years ago, after the Houston game, we laid it out, and he did too. He said receiver, he said kicker.
Yeah.
He went so far as to say that, you know, maybe, and every single thing that they did, he also pointed out, he said after the Houston game, Bean did, that the thing that is your undoing, you know, usually you find out where you're not good enough, and that's how you're going to lose in the playoffs. And against Houston, it was receiver and kicker. And against Kansas City, it's you couldn't make any stops. But also your offense dynamically wasn't running the ball well enough, efficiently enough. Maybe your quarterback had a couple of bad days against the Chiefs too. Maybe they were holding. Who knows? Lots of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't think it's a smokescreen. I think he's being honest because – I don't know why. Would you go to Moss and Singletary and be like, hey, listen, I'm going to say you're not fast in the press conference today, but I'm just kidding.
And what are you smoke screening? Are you smoke screening because you're trying to have somebody who wants a running back at 35 calling you to move up to 30? If you're smoke screening that, why would you be doing that? Because Etienne or Harris are going to be on the board and someone will want to trade up to your spot for them because you might take them? I don't know. I think as GMs go, and especially before a draft, but we know GMs and coaches, I always say they lie and it sounds so mean. I don't mean it in a mean-spirited way. So, they don't necessarily tell you the truth. They smoke screen. They do all these things. They're protecting their own interests. So we're used to that. I think he is, for the most part, in a GM position, he's pretty forthright. I heard that yesterday, and I think he's being honest. I don't think he was saying that to set up a trade or to smoke screen. I think there's a lot of stuff being thrown around right now about who's rumored to be trading up, who's rumored to be trading down, who wants this, who wants that. But I think he was being honest, and I think that's how he truly feels about the situation. And I don't think that's being done to make a running back needy team call me when we're up at 30 and offer something so we can slide back and get another pick or picks. I don't think so.
I don't either. I also think a lot of this ends up being the GMs loving to kind of play the smokescreen game. This isn't exactly the World Series of Poker of bluffing and the greatest bluffers in the world. Like we say a lot, he could just tell the truth and everyone would say it was a smokescreen. He could smokescreen and everyone would, it's not exactly like it's you're not solving the Rubik's Cube by pretending to like something and then want something else. Especially, and I'll do this all week next week, we never see their board, so we don't know what they actually want to do.
Right.
What we only
grades?
Know what the outcome is.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I think he's being honest. It makes sense. It's also all of it true.
Yeah.
It's all true. Did he say yesterday about cornerback two that Levi Wallace can't hack it? Did he say that? No, but he said it about his running backs, about they lack this
skill set.
Specific skill set.
Right.
So.
And I thought.
I just think it's very, very interesting. It's not the kind of thing you often get from those.
Right. And I think the other thing, we're all trying, what are they doing at 30 and all that? A big talking point this offseason since the end of the AFC Championship has been, what do you need to do to beat Kansas City? Now, also in that Zoom call yesterday, he was asked specifically about how you deal with Mahomes. And after he talked about, let's add a 12th defender on the field, which I thought was a nice, funny line, what did he talk about? He talked about building the defense. Now, you and I have this discussion when it is strictly about Kansas City, okay? Not the division, not the overall picture in the AFC. But if you look at the Bills roster and you only talk about how do you beat Kansas City, you and I will always talk about, well, you still got to score points. Sure, we'll talk about defense. And he did. This is why I think it's interesting, that running back and then the later comment about Kansas City. When he was asked about dealing with Mahomes, what did he say? He didn't say we got to outscore him. You got to build your defense. Your secondary, in this order, he said secondary, speedy linebackers, and of course the guys up front to flush him out and have speed to pursue him. Look what Tampa did in the Super Bowl. So, I don't know. I still think when all is said and done, despite what he said about the home run hitter and the skill set and all that stuff, to me, the answer about Kansas City doesn't change anything where I think they're going with their first pick, and that is either cornerback two or edge rusher, because I do believe they're looking to possibly, I don't know about upgrade, but certainly bring in some more competition in both of those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when he said that about the Chiefs and Mahomes, he didn't say, we need an explosive tight end, we need more receivers. He didn't answer at that point a home run hitter at running back. Everything was about building up your defense to deal with Mahomes, who's going to be around for, more than another couple years.
And that's the thing about smoke screens. By the way, we get paid every time we say smoke screen.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Ooh.
Well, if you thought the running back, he's just saying, is he just saying all the rest of that stuff too?
So you're saying the answer about defense might be a smoke screen.
I'm saying that, yes. If you say it about one thing, you have to say it about everything. He went in order, secondary, linebackers, and then defensive
and then up
line?
Front. Yeah.
Okay, so defensive line is most important to him, then linebacker. Who knows?
Yeah.
And, again, how do you beat Kansas City? The Bills' two worst offensive performances of the season were against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
You can say you want your defense to be better. They're not going to beat the Chiefs unless they figure out how to score against the Chiefs, who don't have a great defense.
Yeah, you think about, they didn't lose that often. basically two games that mattered, right? Because the end of the season loss was throw that out the window. How'd they lose to Vegas? Vegas scored 40 points. Yep. How'd they lose to Tampa? Okay, Tampa's offense was moving up and down the field on them. Now, they didn't get 40, but Brady and Kump, they couldn't stop Brady and their offense. I know everybody talked about their four-man rush. I know they got pressure and all that stuff. As you point out, you know, if they play the game with their normal starting offensive line, maybe those guys don't get through as much as they did. But the offense was scoring to outscore Kansas City if necessary. Didn't have to, because their defense was doing a nice job. But they were scoring, and Vegas had to put up 40 to beat Kansas City in a game that meant something.
And don't forget, Tampa got every single pass interference call you could ever want.
Yeah, flags. Yeah, right.
Tons of flags.
Right. Okay, how much do we get paid every time smokescreen? Like, are we talking a dollar?
No, it's like a tenth of a cent, so we're going to have to do a
lot. Oh, my goodness.
Really get after it.
That's okay. I'm already up. I found a $5 bill in the parking lot.
Ooh. That was mine. What's it look like?
Whose picture is on it?
Lincoln. It's got fives.
No, you're right. Okay. That's, yeah, his picture.
And on the corners, there are fives?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That must have been mine from last year. I've been looking for that.
All right. I'll Venmo you.
Okay.
Because I have it in my wallet. Yeah. I got out of the car. I looked down on the ground. Hey, a $5 bill. And I didn't see any like string attached to it. You know, the old gag in the, have you seen that in the airport where you put a dollar and you pulled a, no string. So I picked it up. I dried it out.
No strings attached.
No, is that where that came from?
Maybe.
No strings attached because 500 years ago, they used to do a... No, I don't know, whatever. 803-0550. Bills fans, we are talking draft. We are talking about Brandon Bean, who, by the way, will be joining us at 8:15 this morning. So we're looking forward to chatting with the Bills GM about that. There are other things to get to from yesterday. Fifth-year options, Allen's contract extension, trading up, trading down. Whole bunch of other stuff, so we'll get to all of that. But we want to hear from you. You know, what does Brandon Bean absolutely have to address in the draft, Bills fans? You can share your opinions on that, or literally anything else you want to talk about with the Bills and the draft. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Today on the show, Sal will be with us at 7. He has an article up with a recap of what the Bills GM said yesterday. WGR550.com. Brandon Bean, as I mentioned, at 8:15. Paul Hamilton at 9. Sabres lost to the Bruins last night. We'll talk hockey with Paul a little bit later in the show. Grab a line. Join us this morning on this snowy Wednesday. Hey, by the way, speaking of the draft, it's the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, presented by the Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey. You can join us now through Monday for the biggest mock draft event all year. Locked On local experts make the selections, and Odyssey football experts, including Michael Irvin, Ross Tucker, Jason Luckenfora, and Brian Baldinger, offer their analysis. Get the picks, trades, and insight from all of your favorite NFL teams by subscribing to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We are Odyssey, AUDACY. Sabres shut out by the Bruins last night in the opener of a three-game series with Boston this week. 2-0 the final. That is 9 straight losses to the Bruins over the last couple of seasons. They'll play them again tomorrow night. Carey Price has a concussion. The Montreal Canadiens goalie is out for 1 week. Brandon Bean had his pre-draft Zoom call with the media yesterday. Among the topics discussed, fifth-year options. The deadline is coming up May 3rd for Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds. Bean said they will discuss those after the draft. On a contract extension for Josh Allen or possible extension, Bean said he can't guarantee it would happen this year. He said they would consider a running back at 30 if there is a home run hitter available. If you want to hear the full call, about 45 minutes. We have it for you in our on-demand audio. Former Bill Corey Bojorquez signs with the Rams. Mike Tomlin gets an extension from the Steelers through 2024, and tight end Jordan Reed announced his retirement from the NFL. Yanks beat the Braves. Jays lost to the Red Sox. Mets lost to the Cubs. The planned Super League, announced Sunday, has been suspended. 6 English teams were going to pull out. Those are your Paddock Chevrolet headlines. Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile. Next update at 7 o'clock.
Cousins slipping it back to the point. Boston returns to full strength. A long shot right on the rebound. And Rask made a great save. Another shot. Oh, and that one was stopped right on the goal line.
Not Not too many moments of the game last night for the Sabres. No. We'll use that there as one of them.
Cousins and Mittelstadt continue to look pretty good.
Well, yeah, Cousins just again. Hang on a sec. The first moments of the game brought to you by First Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Two quick things. One, according to, I got to give, proper credit where credit is due. It was somebody from Channel 4. I just don't have it in front of me, and my computer is the slowest computer on the face of the planet. But we are going through the heaviest snow right now in the Buffalo area, and I got a heads up from Rob Lucas at our sister station, Star 102.5. Apparently, there are a number of accidents on the road this morning. So be aware of that. Be careful. The roads, even if they're not snow covered, are wet and slippery. So please be careful when you're going out this morning, if indeed you're headed out, morning commute, whatever the case may be, because it's a little tricky out there. Yeah, Cousins has that rush. I mean, just watching him get the puck and rush up ice and beat guys and go wide on defensemen and all that. I mean, it's – and, yeah, Mittelstadt had some glorious chances last night. And Cousins' speed is – it's exciting to watch this kid just fly up the ice and create stuff, whether it's for himself or for guys on his line. So, yeah, on a night when they were shut out.
Can't be said enough. If there was ever not a time to trade your best player, it's now.
Yeah, and I
don't do it.
Yeah, I forgot yesterday. I apologize to Casey Mittelstadt. We were talking about center depth, and I kind of forgot to mention, hey, Mittelstadt. So in theory, if he keeps playing this way, and Cousins looks really good, you could have Eichel in whatever order, Eichel, Reinhardt, Cousins, Mittelstadt as your four centers.
Let's
if you wanted to do that.
You wanted to do it, but the Kings had Cousins and Mittelstadt,
mm-hmm.
and those were the two pieces coming back. Of course, you'd want more, mm-hmm. but you'd think like, oh, okay, well, two good young players to build around. Mittelstadt seems to have come on. Mm-hmm. Cousins is a really high draft pick. He's been highly touted the whole time. Now, that's a good start for a return. Well, instead of that, what if you just put them all together?
Yeah, right.
You know,
and there's
like,
your
let's
center
just,
depth.
Just don't do it. And if the response is, well, what if he asks for a trade? Then you say no.
What? You can do that?
Not going to do it.
Right. I don't think he would do that when I'm not showing up then and just kind of hang out in Massachusetts or wherever he wants to hang out for the entire season.
He's probably itching to play after mm-hmm. missing last year's return to play.
Yeah.
This year, the injuries. I don't know. Maybe he does want to get moved out to L.A. Who knows? But the bottom line is that, what, like 3 weeks ago we talked about rock bottom and I told you, it can't get any worse. We were at rock bottom. Nothing could happen to make it worse. And I think that ended up being true, right? Right now, this isn't rock bottom. They got shut out by the Bruins last night. You want to know the best indication that things are starting to turn around? And I'm not kidding. For anybody that says, like, oh, who cares? You know, they got shut out by the Bruins. They're 6-9-3 under Granato. The way you can tell that they are definitely better is when the Sabres post on social media that they lost the game. There aren't 2,000 replies to go, drive off the Grand Island Bridge or something. It's their fans have forgiven them a little bit and kind of backed off.
I don't remember exactly what day it was, but recently Terry Pegula celebrated a birthday, and the Sabres Twitter tweeted out happy birthday to Terry Pegula, and I just thought, I get sentiment, right? Good. Bad.
Right.
You're just opening. I can't even. I didn't look. I can't imagine the responses they were getting that day.
And now, if they did it, it would be happy birthday.
Yeah.
Because the pressure's been.
You're not as angry. Sabres Twitter is not as angry a place as it has been for the most of the season.
So just don't trade Jack.
Don't go to LA, man. The traffic is. I mean, I spent a whole week trying to get back from Malibu to Los Angeles in one afternoon. Don't go to LA. It's too many cars, too many people.
Yeah, right.
Besides, look, if you and I and Sabre fans are all sitting here going, hey, this guy Granato knows what he's doing. Hey, look at Cousins. Hey, look at Mittelstadt's playing his best ever as a Sabre. Hey, look, Asplund's not just a defensive forward. What, Dahlin's back. Jokiharju, although I thought he had a kind of a rough night last night. But anyway, he'd be seeing that too, So if he was in a really dark place, or he's sitting there thinking, wow, this is rock bottom. This is, maybe he'd be encouraged by what, he's seeing. He's seeing the same stuff we are. Maybe he'd be encouraged if he likes Granato and Granato's making the team better and they hire Granato, there are reasons he might look at and go, okay, it's not as bad as I thought it was. And, again, if you asked me a month ago, I would tell you, if I were him, I would demand a trade. This is when Kruger was coaching and they were just awful. Now, at least Eichel might be, you know, sitting there going, all right, it's not as bad as it was.
What's the
I'll
plan,
make this
though?
Work. Yeah, I
What's
don't.
The plan? Right.
Well, he's got to talk to Kevin Adams, sure, about that. And ownership and find out what the plan is.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. There was one other thing I want to get you back to. Brandon Bean. No, running back. Trade up, trade. He's not trading up, right?
I think it's very possible.
Do you really? Okay.
They trade up all the time.
I know they do. But I heard him talk enough yesterday about draft capital and cheap labor and cost-controlled contracts.
Yep, they don't have a lot of draft capital.
At a time when they don't have a lot of cap space. He said next year they don't think there's going to be a big increase in the cap. You might be tying up $35 million in cap space next year on Allen and Edmonds and fifth-year options. If you aren't, you're extending one or both of those guys. Those are going to be bigger contracts down the road. And I just thought, you know, he's not going to want to give up another pick because he's going to need actual human beings and bodies making relatively little amounts of money for the next 4 years.
Very true. Very, very true. Very possible. You know, next year you could toss up a second or a third round pick as a way to move up possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, he said, and, you know, the Bills get a lot of credit for being a really smart organization, and I think they are. I think they mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. They definitely it's funny, like I mentioned to you the other day that I like the Rams and the Bills as each having an over-under of 10.5 because they approach the sport very differently in how they build. The Rams don't have any draft picks, right? They go out and they make trades for proven players and big money players and huge contracts, and they do win. Right, they have a smart coach. They have star players on defense. They get some guys that they're not afraid if they're brash, whatever. They win. Mm-hmm. They went to a Super Bowl more recently than the Bills did. And the Bills, on the other side, you know, they're about the culture, the room, trust the process, and that works for them too. One thing about, like, thinking about how a lot of teams build in the draft, never draft a running back, never trade up. That's what the smart teams do. What happens if a team that everybody thinks is smart for doing other things, fourth downs, the way they build their operation, the Bills, does the thing in the draft that you don't think is smart? Is it all of a sudden, is it any smarter?
Yeah.
Is it, can we open our hearts to the idea that they might have some system that, who knows if they can beat the draft long term? They've traded up and they've missed, but they also traded up and they hit with Josh Allen. So, you know, it's I think that they are a smart organization that doesn't necessarily subscribe to all of the smart stuff. And that makes them a little bit, I don't know, cagey? Is that the word I'm looking for? It makes them a little, they're gamblers to some degree.
Oh, I mean, they didn't move last year at all, right? But the previous two drafts, they would have moved up, moved around. I think where they are as a team, you know, what their situation is with the cap, what their situation, you know, I thought it was interesting that, again, we try not to, I got to remind myself, never operate in a single year. Don't operate in the vacuum, so to speak. Don't think about the Bills and contracts and draft picks and contracts and all the stuff. Just thinking about what's happening in 2021. It's about 22 and 23 and down the road. And I think about, trying to make those contracts. He was talking also about Josh's contract, if they get an extension, right? Someone asked him about, could an extension for Josh, even though it might not be done if it is done after the draft, could that extension affect this year's draft? And he said, yeah, it could. I mean, you know, if we're going to give out this big contract to Josh and it's going to reduce our cap space, maybe there's a free agent after next season we can't afford to keep. Or maybe there's a high salary cap guy after next season that we have to release because we need to clear cap space. So they could use a pick this year thinking, okay, in a year from now, when Josh's new contract kicks in and we can't keep this player, let me address that spot now. So that's why I just think having as many picks, he talked about trying to get a fourth-round pick back. They don't have a fourth. And then he brought up the idea of, you know, trading down in one of the rounds, maybe third round or whatever, and trying to pick up another pick in the fourth. So I hear all that stuff, and I think, you know, if there could be a player that's on the board at, I don't know, 20, 22, 25, whatever, and they absolutely love – they could move up. I think he'd be very, very, very hesitant to move off of to trade up and get rid of draft picks. I think they're trying to keep or even add more because of what's going on with their cap situation and where it's going to be next year, which doesn't sound like it's going to be much higher.
Yeah.
803-0550. If you haven't been out yet, it's probably snowing where you are.
Snowy. It's pretty snow. If you can kind of
convince yourself of that? It's
yeah, I guess. Yeah. No, I'm trying. I stood up to look outside. Yeah, I guess maybe it does. It feel like it's, does it remind you of like the first snow of the year? I always think is really cool. And you look out like, oh, the tree, you know, there's white falling off of the tree limbs, caked over all the trees. And you're like, oh, the first snow always looks nice. And I guess, you know, you might be right, Clancy. But, you know, at least, like I said, there's no shoveling at this point. The roads are wet, but there's no snow piling up in the streets. And I don't think you need to shovel your walk today.
Next Wednesday, it's going to be 73.
I haven't looked in next week. Good. Yeah,
it's going to be really warm next Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, this stuff, I think, is supposed to melt by Friday. So, you know. Don't feel like shoveling. Don't do it. It'll leave on its own. 803-0550 to join us as we talk Bills draft with you. 888-550-2550. It is Wednesday, so tweet us today because it's Hoagie Hump Day. Tweet at WGR550. Use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. If you do that, you're in the running for a $25 gift card to Jim's Steakhouse. We'll take all the entries today. We'll get one lucky WGR listener and give them the gift card. Again, it's very simple. Just tweet at WGR550, and please use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. It is brought to you by Jim's Steakout. Get your hoagie on. Visit jimsteakout.com.
So if we did a contract now, you know, it would just be how we structured it. We could structure it to where it doesn't, it's probably going to cost us a little bit on our cap, but there's a lot of different ways we could structure it to where it doesn't, you know, greatly affect it. That'll be part of the negotiation is as much as the money, what's the structure? Because again, we've got to not only fit them in this year, but next year's cap is not going to increase a lot. So can we agree to what his numbers would be this year and then year two and then beyond? Some of that's an unknown, you know, where the cap's going to be years three and beyond. So we'll have to do our calculations of where we see the cap going.
Bills GM Brandon Bean, some of his comments yesterday on a potential Josh Allen contract extension this offseason. Technically, the Bills don't have to do it. Allen is under contract this season. And if they pick up, which we assume they will, the fifth-year option by May 3rd, he would be under contract in 2022. So they don't have to get an extension. They all would also could still have the franchise tag down the road. So we'll see if that does take place. He did point out they were in the same situation in Carolina with Cam Newton. Tried to get the extension done, couldn't get it done, went into the season, got it done the next offseason. So I'm sure it'll be done at some point. Question is now or after the next offseason. I would think now would be better. So you have an actual cap number locked in. You don't have to have the $23 million cap number in 2022 that you would with a fifth-year option, but that's one of the things we'll follow up on when the GM joins us at 8:15 this morning. By the way, we always like to talk about some TV tips, and I didn't mention this yesterday, but we should have reminded you that with Alex Smith retirement, if you never saw the E60 about Alex Smith on ESPN, go find it. But I started watching This Is a Robbery.
I told you about this.
Jonathan actually he's here today. He's watching it too. So I think I'm in the middle of show two. I'm very slow at watching shows.
Did I tell you about this? Or
yeah.
Did I tell Sal last week?
No, you told me about it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have known about it. You mentioned it, and I went on Netflix the other day, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's the show Jeremy told me about. So I got through the first episode. Love it. Wonderful. But there's a show. And it's all up there at once, whether it's The Crown or Drive to Survive or anything. I'm not a binge person. I really want to not race through a show on purpose. Yeah. So I'm only into episode number two, and I'm taking my time working my way through it.
Speaking of Drive to Survive, you see the video of, I think it was an old video of Red Bull Racing going through the streets of Miami.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. I think it might have been an old video. Somebody sent me a link to it.
Yeah.
So Red Bull Racing had a video of Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez talking about racing in Miami in 2022. And there was a video maybe where they drove the Red Bull car throughout the Rocky Mountains and a bunch of different stuff as the circuit comes to the U.S. So 2022 Miami, it's going to be around the iconic Hard Rock Stadium.
Uh-huh.
That's what it said. Was the
It said iconic?
Yeah. You don't find that, it iconic?
Okay. Maybe for a summertime show, we can do a show listing iconic stadiums. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Hard Rock Stadium will not come up for discussion that day.
Yeah. Well, it was suggested by Ryan Gates, former afternoon show producer of Mike Schopen the Bulldog, that we should put together one of those Sandy Beach-style cruises, right? They took cruises up the Thames and stuff. we should just get a station trip to Miami and go to the F1 race in Miami.
I'm okay with that. I mean, we did a station trip to Columbus for a Sabres game.
That's right, we did. So somebody will send us. Who's going to send us to that thing?
Okay, 2022. That would be, we would have to work out that detail, I think.
Okay.
I'll pass it on to management.
There's also a reason to suggest maybe instead of Miami, we can go to Montreal, we can go to Austin.
Could.
But Miami is the new one that they've added to the schedule. So, yeah, let's find a way.
That'd be sweet. You know, it's funny, like, going to a race like that, I want to go to experience it. It's not the greatest way to watch the race because you can't, it's not like NASCAR where you're up in the stands and you see the whole track. But I think it would be so cool just to see a race in person, to hear it, to experience it. I mean, I assume, I'm going to guess, Jeremy, like you could go to the race that they do like NASCAR where you have an app on your phone where you can listen into conversations like, you know, like the stuff we hear on the telecast. You know, the drivers talking to, you know, whoever's in charge in the pit, stuff like that. So I'd like to believe you'd have some kind of inside access to stuff going on at the track that day.
These are all great questions.
So, yeah, having never experienced this.
Can you tell that we're new and have no idea what we're doing? It's like the time I went to the NASCAR race and I'm just looking around asking people, okay, so where do I go now? What do I do?
Yeah, right? Don't they have like in-race communications available that you can listen to?
I forget what it's called, but it's a little device that you take with you and plug in headphones. You can dial up the radio channels of every team.
Love it. I would love to do that and listen to that. Although it's funny, one of the challenges of watching F1, but the guys on the TV are really good about this. So they there's a little sounder and a little box comes up on the, yeah, right? And a little box comes up on the screen because they're about to play back a comment from one of the drivers talking with, you know, whoever's giving them instructions from their crew. Box, or next guy up is Ricardo or whatever. There are times because either A, it's loud with the cars, or B, I can't make out what they're saying due to the accent, or it's... The guys on the telecast are great. They basically tell you what the driver just said. Like, what the hell did he just say? Oh, this is what they're talking about. But that is pretty cool to get that kind of comments back and forth. Sometimes there are things that have to be bleeped out because the driver doesn't necessarily agree with the strategy that's going on from his team.
I find that when watching a race, the radio thing coming up is a lot like your offensive line. You don't want to hear from it. Whenever, you know, I'm watching the race and it'll go doo-doo-doo and it shows Verstappen, I think, uh-oh. Anytime they talk on the radio, a bad thing is happening? I think it's only going to be bad. I'm losing my rear tires. No brakes. Sergio Perez said the steering wheel steering itself.
Yeah, that's not good,
Anytime you pop up on that radio thing during one of those races, I think it's going to be bad.
Wasn't there – there was one time – I don't know if it was Lewis Hamilton or maybe one of the other guys with Hamilton on their tail. I don't know. The guy basically said, okay, enough already. I know who's behind me, or I know who's in front of me. Just stop bothering me and let me race. You know? So it is kind of interesting to, you know, to hear that back and forth, the inside access between drivers. Anyway, I digress. When we get back, we are talking about Brandon Bean and his pre-draft Zoom call yesterday. A lot of areas to cover, and we will do that with Mr. Capaccio. He is on the way. 803-0550 if you have a Bills question, a Bills comment. A Bill's opinion to share. Dial us up now so you can come on with us and Sal next on WGR.